Father, we thank you for the meeting this morning. We expect your speaking and your blessing for all the saints. And this meeting is especially for your glory and for the fulfillment of your eternal purpose. Anoint us all. We open our hearts to you, that your word would be so effective and pierce us. And I hope that the Lord will show each one of us. These are not just signs, but in everything that the Lord wants to do, he's not just speaking to us, but he also gives us signs. Although, in his first coming, the Lord showed us so clearly. For example, in Daniel chapter 9, you can even calculate when the Messiah should come. And especially the Jews, they should have known, but they did not see. And they also didn't pay attention for looking for it. And in the end, they missed him. They missed receiving the Messiah. And until this very day, they are still waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Isn't that sad? That's really very sad. And then, who came to see the Lord? It was the wise men from the east. They didn't have the scripture. When the Lord would come, how would they know that he was the king of the Jews in Bethlehem and that he would be born in Bethlehem? Who told them that? It was a sign from above. They saw a star. At that time, the Jews had the scripture, but they didn't need. The Lord even came to them. Bethlehem wasn't far from Jerusalem, but even in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it was so clearly written where the Messiah would be born, in Bethlehem. And still, none of them went there. Not a single one. And the first to see the Lord, the Messiah, were the shepherds. Thank you. But it was not through the scripture, but it was the angels who were singing there and declaring him. So, today we do not just need the scripture, but we need to have the living experience of the Lord. Otherwise, we will also miss his return. They missed his first coming, and now we are in the danger that we will miss his second coming. But what will be even worse is that we would have to go through the great day of God's wrath. Some people might say, we don't need the signs, we have the Spirit. Yes, if we have the Spirit, why don't we realize that the Lord is coming soon? Why do we not know what we should do for the preparation of his return? The Spirit is living, and the anointing will teach us all things, especially at the end of the age. What will the anointing still teach us about the salvation that you need to believe on the Lord Jesus? Otherwise, you'll go into the eternal condemnation. Do you think that's important for you today? It's the return of the Lord. It's right behind the door. Revelation 1 says, the time is near. And at the end, in Revelation 22, the Lord says, oh, don't worry, I'm not coming for a while. Is that what he says? Three times he says, behold, I am coming quickly. Do you believe it? And how soon is soon? Next year? After 5 years? No. For us, he could come at any time. Any time. But especially, even though we don't know what hour he's coming, but you also don't know what hour you will leave, depart. Yeah. Whether he comes or whether he delays a little bit, you have to be prepared at every moment. Do you remember the foolish virgins, the five foolish virgins? After they fell asleep, they died. At their resurrection, their condition was exactly at the same as when they did. When they died, they had no oil. So whether the Lord comes tomorrow or whether you leave tomorrow, depart, you have to prepare for his return. This is how it is. For this reason, the apostles at their time believed that the Lord could come at any time. Can you imagine when the disciples asked Jesus at that time? They asked, when are you coming? Right? Oh, then the Lord said, oh yeah, don't worry. 2,000 years later. Oh, 2,000 years later, I will return. Do you think that the apostles would speak about the return of the Lord? I wouldn't. Oh, 2,000 years. Why should I speak about the Lord's coming? That's why. At that time, they lived in such a way, expecting that the Lord would come at any time. Read 2 Thessalonians. In every chapter, he mentioned the second coming of the Lord, that they should be prepared. So, our preparation is very important. You don't have 2,000 years time. Or at that time, did anybody have 2,000 years of time to prepare? No. Maybe 70 years. And if they're healthy, 80 years, said Moses. So it doesn't matter what time or when the Lord comes back, you also only have this short time to prepare. But today, praise the Lord, we are living in a very special time, but also a very dangerous time. Because if we are not prepared, we will have to go through the last 3.5 years. as most of the Christians say, the great tribulation. Do you want to do that? Nobody wants to do that. And then everybody believes, oh, it doesn't matter. We're saved. We will all be raptured. Where does it say that we will all be raptured? They use 1 Thessalonians. But that is not the only mention. And it says that we will be taken to the air. All shall be caught up together in the air. But the overcomers will be taken to the throne of God. I've already experienced the air more times flying with Lufthansa. That was my life for the last 40 years. If that's what the rapture is, then I already have been raptured more times. No. In Revelation 12, the man-child was taken to the throne of God, up there, not to the air. The first fruits in Revelation chapter 14, they all were raptured to be with the Lamb before the throne on the heavenly Mount Zion. Not in the air. But in the end of the 3.5 years, all will be taken to the air and then appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is what it says. If you don't believe it, then you can wait till that time, but then it will be too late. Where do you want to be raptured? To which place? To the throne. But then you have to be an overcomer. Don't think that all Christians are overcomers. Revelation 2 and 3, the Lord spoke to the churches. They were all believers, the seven churches. Those we who are sitting here, are we not all believers? Is anyone not a believer? Then you should believe now. And then be baptized at the end of the meeting, okay? But if you are a believer, look. The Lord didn't say nice things to all churches, to all the seven churches. Or what did he tell the churches? What did he say to the church in Ephesus? I have this against you. What? The Lord has something against the church? Oh, because you don't believe on me. Is that what he said? Because you have left the first, the best love. In the eyes of the Lord, when we leave, once we have left the first love, we have already fallen. That was a serious word. It's not enough to just say, I love the Lord. Of course, all Christians will say, I love the Lord. I have never heard a Christian say, no, I don't love Christ. No, but that's not what it's about. But the Lord wants the best love. With your whole heart, with your whole soul, even with your whole strength. He's God. Well, with your whole mind and with your strength. He is God. Yes, that's the summary of all the commandments. The problem is not that we don't love him. The problem is that we love many other things. We even love the world. Then the Lord said, if you do not repent, you'll go to hell? Did he say that? No. But he said, I will remove your lampstand from its place. You know, the Lord doesn't just want to have a church. He wants to have golden lampstands. Everyone says, we're the church and this and that. There's so many churches. But in Revelation chapter 1, the Lord said the seven golden lampstands are the seven churches. The Lord wants to have golden lampstands. Didn't Paul say how you should build the church with wood, hay, and stubble? With iron, brass, brass, steel. No, with gold, silver, and precious stones. Are you a precious stone? Are we precious stones transformed? Are we transformed to precious stones? And how much gold do we have? To the church in Laodicea, the Lord said, come to me and buy gold. How often have you gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to buy gold from you? Of course, it's not the earthly gold that is meant here. How often do you go to the Lord? I'm coming to you to buy gold. Sarah? What do you ask of the Lord? Give me a good job. A good career. I want to have a house. In German, they have the saying to be busy and work to get to build a house. Everybody wants to have a nice house. But what about God's house? Haggai, the prophet Haggai told them, you're so busy building your own house, and my house is not being taken care of. And for us believers, every church is okay. It's fine. Who says everything is okay? Ask the Lord. It is his house, not your house. Maybe if it were your house, it would be okay. Everybody builds according to his good pleasure. But as God commanded to Moses to build the tabernacle for him, God gave him every detail of the materials, the color, what kind of material and what it should look like, and all the measurements and everything. And Moses was faithful. How faithful was he? How do we know that he was faithful? Because he did everything according to what God had showed him. And God said, make sure that you build according to the heavenly pattern that you have seen. And how do we build the church? Oh, one church, one city. One city, one church. Oh, it's that simple to build the church? And then, in 1988, then I asked, one city, what kind of a church? What kind of a church are you building? And what does the Lord say? And I spoke to an elder brother in California. I said, don't think that if you're the church that you're always going to be the church. To the church in Ephesus, the Lord said, I will remove your lampstand. And in Revelation, there's also a dead church, the church of Sardis. You have a name that you're alive, but in reality, you are. He didn't even say half dead. Dead is dead. You can't be deader than dead. Or? What kind of a church are we? A lukewarm church? The Lord said, if you do not repent, I will vomit you out of my mouth. To vomit. Do you think the Lord does that? It doesn't taste good to him anymore. It doesn't not only not taste good to him, it makes him sick. It's not simple. Don't think that God's word is simple. No, it is not simple. And then with Thyatira, they had Jezebel and tolerated Jezebel. You know Jezebel. She's a famous woman, infamous in a negative connotation. And she was ruling there in the church in Thyatira. And they tolerated her. The Lord would have thrown her out a long time ago. But we're so nice. We think God is just love. He's not just love. Hebrews tells us he's a consuming fire. Of course, he's also love, but he's also a consuming fire. That's why Hebrews chapter 12 says we have to serve him, to serve him in a well-pleasing way, not just do anything for God, to be well-pleasing to him, reverently, with reverence. With reverence and godly fear. We serve God without fear, then you can do whatever you want. Where do you work? Oh, he's not working yet. And you, where do you work? In which company? Sorry, I couldn't hear. No, I mean in your human life here in Stuttgart. Or are you unemployed? A company. In that company, can you do whatever you want? No. You think, yeah, I'm doing that for the company. You can't just do anything for the company. What if you would just do whatever you want for the company? You will be fired. You will lose your job. But when we serve the Lord, we just do whatever we want. And we don't have any fear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said, he spoke of the terror of the Lord, and he was speaking of the judgment seat of Christ. Because he said, we all must give an account for the things we do in our body on this earth. Do you think, oh, there's no judgment for us? No, the judgment seat is not for the unbelievers, but for us. the great white throne at the end of the millennial kingdom. This judgment is for the unbelievers. Assume that the Lord would come right now and we would have to give an account. You know, to stand before the judgment, even an earthly judgment, is so uncomfortable. Or would you like to go to the judgment once a week? But to stand before the judgment seat of our Lord, a judgment seat, a tribunal, that's for God's household. Judgment begins with the house of God. That's what Peter says. There is judgment for us. But many will say, there's no problem when the Lord comes back. We're saved. We're born again. We'll all be taken. We'll go up there. It's that simple, so cheap. And everybody believes it. We're going to experience a great surprise when the Lord comes back. For this reason, the Lord showed us that he is coming back soon. Of course he's returning, but why is he showing this to us? Not for us to say, hallelujah, he's coming. Then you have to think, am I ready? Am I ready? Am I prepared for the Lord to come? What do you want to do? Today, we have so many excuses. We have so many reasons, this and that. We have a lot to say. But when we stand before his judgment seat, I don't know if we dare to open our mouth to say something or not. For this reason, praise the Lord. The Lord has given us this warning. Already in Matthew 25, with the 10 virgins, most people say that the 5 wise virgins are saved and the other 5 are the unbelievers. Has the Lord ever described an unbeliever as a virgin? And they all had lamps. The unbelievers, they don't have a lamp. And they were waiting for the return of the bridegroom. Do the unbelievers believe that Jesus Christ is their bridegroom? They'll laugh at you until all their teeth fall out. This is how it is. Don't think that everything will be fine when the bridegroom comes, that everyone will go into the wedding. No, that's not how it is written. 5 go in, and the other 5 still have to buy oil. And it was already too late to enter into the wedding. Take heed. Pay attention to exactly what the Lord says. His word is important and serious. And every word, every iota will be fulfilled. It's not dependent on us, but what is spoken in the word and the entirety of the word. That is important. I'm saying this not to scare you, but to wake you up. There's still a little bit of time. We still have a little bit of time to turn, to repent before the Lord. As long as He's not here, even if the time is so short, we can turn. We can repent. And repent doesn't just mean to say, oh, I'm sorry. No, it means to make a turn, a change of mind. If you are going on the wrong way, in the wrong direction, then you have to turn, make a U-turn. If you're driving the car and you're going in the wrong direction, oh, that's no problem. I'll just keep going. No, you make a U-turn. That is what it means to repent. You make a U-turn. Praise the Lord. The Lord is coming. Because last night we spoke about the sign that He is coming soon. And possibly, if I may say, He may come this year. And possibly. Don't say, oh, John said He's coming in this year. No, that's not what I said. But possibly. Possibly. And this is a warning and an encouragement to wake up so that we would wake up and repent before the Lord and do the proper, the right thing. Do what His word tells us to do. If we have such a heart to be well pleasing to Him, then the anointing that dwells in us will show us, and through the word and through the indwelling Spirit, the anointing, also in the Gospel of John, he said, when He comes, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, when He comes, He will teach you all things. Actually, we don't need to have outward teachers. The Lord warns us of so many false teachers and false prophets. There are so many of them. But we have the best teacher that God Himself gave to us, the Holy Spirit. Not so that we could speak in tongues, but that He would teach us in all things, especially with respect to God's plan and purpose. Read 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 and verse 20. The anointing which you have received from the Holy One will teach you all things and is not a lie. It's the truth, and abide in Him. When we come to the Word, we need Him. We need this anointing in us. We need light from Him. Right? And the enemy wants to distract us and lead us astray. I don't understand this and that, and I need someone who can explain everything to me and teach me. And then we don't pay attention to the teacher that the Lord Himself gave us. Praise the Lord. Oop, I forgot my watch. What time is it? I still have a little bit of time. I think that for some who have come here for the first time or have just come to Zion recently. I say Zion because Zion is a name. A church, that's not a name. Church is just a gathering of the saints. Everyone, the Hebrews, they called it a synagogue. We call it a church. Synagogue just means a meeting, but there's so many of them. And at the end, in Revelation, it was called the synagogue of Satan.
Oof.
Oh, is Satan also building synagogues? And if Satan is building synagogues, and we are the New Testament synagogues, in quotes, and we call us churches, call ourselves churches, there are also so many. Great ones and small ones. But what does Stephen tell us? The living God, this wonderful living God does not dwell in houses made by man's hands. Often I told the Lord, Lord, I just have man's hands. What can I do? What can I build for you? And we think we're so capable. We are building. We're building. But in the end, everything will collapse. It collapses. And then there's division, another split. And it's unending. Could you read for us Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, I believe? We have come to the church in Ephesus. No, we have come to the Baptist church. To which place have we come? We have come to the Mount Zion. Please stand up and read it to us. But you have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion. And to the city of the living God. Oh, not to a certain church. To the church where they're the best pastors. No. The city of the living God. Really? Truly. Abraham was waiting for this city whose architect and builder was God himself. And then? The heavenly Jerusalem. No, the earthly in Stuttgart. No, the heavenly Jerusalem. Stuttgart. Heavenly Jerusalem. No, the church in Stuttgart. Oh. Oh, no. The heavenly Jerusalem. Have you really come to the heavenly Jerusalem? We can only build the earthly. But to the heavenly Jerusalem. Continue. And to an innumerable company of angels. What? In the church, there are innumerable angels? In German, it says 10,000s. 10,000s. What do these angels do? What does Hebrews chapter 1 say? They are ministers to serve those who will be inherit salvation. Amen. We have so many ministers, ministering spirits, and their service is much better than the human services. Is that not wonderful? And then? And to the festal gathering. Really? In Isaiah, Zion is the city of the, what? The appointed feasts. The appointed feasts. It is a festal gathering. And what are we feasting on? A message? No. The feasts of the Lord. We're keeping the feasts of the Lord. How many feasts are there? There's the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits in Resurrection. It's no wonder that Paul wanted to experience the power of his resurrection and the feast of the Pentecost, not the Pentecost church. No, but the Pentecost is that we have been ascended with him and seated in the heavenlies with him. And then there's the Feast of Trumpets. And the last two? And to the church of the firstborn. Oh, it's not the church of the born again. What's the difference between the church of the firstborn and those born again? You can't say the difference because you haven't understood it. Or you don't understand it. We all think all those who are born again are there, right? The first Hebrews warned us that we should not sell our birthright like Esau did. What can I say? I'm too strange. Okay, continue. Those who are registered in heaven and to God, the judge of all. No, it's God who loves all. No, the God, the judge of all. No, the God who loves all and all the saints. No, he's the judge of all. Which translation do you have? The Zion, the Zion translation. Oh, no wonder. The German is the Zion translation that they have for there. No, there is justice. If we do not know, there's judgment. If we do not know that there's judgment, then we don't have the fear of God and we'll do anything. It doesn't matter what I do. It's going to be okay. Who says that? To God, the judge of all. And then, it's to all those who are saved? No, but to the spirits of just men made perfect. What? It needs to be made perfect? Made perfect. What does it mean to be made perfect? If I ask you, did you go to the university? Yes. Did you finish it? Did you get a title? Did you get a diploma with a grade of A? Or did you barely scrape through? Or did you fail? We all need to be made perfect. If we are not made perfect, then we will not receive the reward. Please. Praise the Lord. We have come to Zion. Zion means the kingdom. It is the city of the great king. Zion. It's not just any place. No. It is there where the Lord is king. He's head over all things to the church, is what Ephesians says. Everybody emphasizes, the church is the body of Christ, but nobody emphasizes that he is the head. The Catholic Church says that the Pope is the head. The church is the body, but the body is fully dependent on the head. And the head doesn't need any deputy authority. He's always there. You just need a substitute if he's not there, but he's always there. Can you imagine if somebody says, I am the responsible one in the church, and then where's the Lord? Did the Lord go to some other place? And if we are the head of the church, then who is righteous? Who is capable to do that? who can be your head? And who can replace your head, Toby? I couldn't think of anyone. Even if you knew someone, surely it was the wrong one. And we want to replace the head of Christ as the head. That is terrible. It's terrible. That's why there are so many kinds of churches and so many problems and difficulties. And everybody has to do what he says and not what Christ says. Do you think that the Lord is tired? Philip, why don't you take the lead? I'm going to go rest. What will you say? Oh, wonderful. I was appointed by Christ. And you even feel very honored. Lord Jesus. No. God appointed Christ as head over all things. Over some things only. No. Are you sure over all? Head over all things. It's good and healthy for us to pay attention and take heed to this. Not that we don't have fellowship with one another, but in the end, the Lord is the one who decides everything. I have experienced being in groups where he who thought he was the apostle and all churches have to do what he said. And if not, then I'm going to show you the door. And when the door is... If the door is closed, then you can go out the window and you'll fly out as quick as possible. Praise the Lord. Sorry, that was not the theme that was in the outline. But I want to tell you what God has planned. He has a plan, a purpose. No one can change it, and he himself will not change it. We just care for salvation and for being born again and then coming together. But God wants to do much more than that. That's not what God wants. And we have to know, Father, what is your purpose, his will? Did he not teach us? Did the Lord not teach us to pray, Father, your name be honored, your king. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, God has a plan. And maybe we'll have more fellowship about it later. But this morning, there is a burden in my heart that we all exercise ourselves to prepare for his coming. And ask him, build a living relationship to him. We have to know him. Just to know the Bible is not sufficient. The Bible cannot replace the living person of the Lord. You can't build a relationship with this Bible or with this iPad. How can I build a relationship with Apple, an iPad? I can read, I can learn something, but the relationship is with the living person, with the living God. Even if you read everything and have much knowledge, you don't know the living Lord, then you don't know anything. That's why Paul warned us that knowledge puffs up. It makes you proud. Oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I know that. And in the end, you'll be the Dr. Know-it-all. And you can't heal anyone. And Paul said, the letter kills, but it is the spirit that gives life, and it makes you alive. Our relationship is a living relationship with the Lord. We want to see Him. Praise the Lord. Okay. Time is over. Let us have a few prayers. Amen. Amen. We want to have a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ.